You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and welcome to our show this morning. I'm here on a little bit of a cold December morning, here on the December as we prepare for the Christmas season. We're right in the midst of it in anticipation for the birth of Jesus Christ, which we will celebrate on December the 25th. Good morning to everybody out there. Our program this morning, we're going to talk about probably the theme of it is what could have been. We have been very much involved both here in Chicago at the local level in Springfield, advocating for some legislation and for the defeat of some legislation in Springfield as it pertains to civil unions. And also this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about our advocating for some legislation that was pending in Washington, D.C., that if people didn't notice over the weekend, the United States Senate was very busy over the weekend trying to wrap up its work in the current session before new members are sworn in next year in 2011. And unfortunately, we didn't prevail very well over the weekend. And we had, when we were talking about this show, one of the things that we were going to really push this morning is to urge people to call their respective members of the United States Senate on something called the DREAM Act. And the DREAM Act has been talked about on these airwaves before, and it would provide really, in essence, an opportunity of the American dream for individuals who are brought over here to live, who may not officially be residents of the United States of America, but have gone to school here, have been participating with other Americans to be educated and to be productive members of society. And really what the DREAM Act was trying to do was just to provide a path to citizenship for those people who have been here, who have attended colleges, military, and that sort of thing, and a chance at the American dream. But unfortunately, it looks like that legislation did not pass. And we're very fortunate this morning to be joined by someone who has been really directly involved and actually is coming back from our nation's capital over the weekend. She's been spending some time there trying to urge the United States Senate to do the right thing this past weekend on the DREAM Act vote. And with us this morning is Cindy Augustine. Cindy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning.
No, good morning. Thank you for having me.
I understand you have a little bit of a cold, so we'll be respectful to your voice and try to do the best we can here this morning on the time we have. Cindy, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and why you're so involved in advocating for the DREAM Act?
I'm an undocumented student. I came here to the United States when I was 3 years old. I am now 21, so I've been here for 18 years. I grew up here just like any other child here. I'm currently a senior at the University of Chicago, so this is my last year of college, and after this, I really don't know what's going to happen. I won't be able to get a job. I can't, right now, I haven't been looking at graduate schools just because I know that I can't afford to pay for any programs anywhere. So I'm kind of stuck after college graduation, and, you know, I also have friends. I have, you know, my community, most of them, you know, they are from immigrant backgrounds. A lot of them are undocumented, so seeing them not being able to go past the high school level really upsets me, and I see, you know, the struggles of an undocumented person, you know, like firsthand, because I am undocumented. My, you know, a lot of my family is too, and fighting for the DREAM Act was just, you know, the first step towards real comprehensive immigration reform later in the future that would affect everyone and not just the students. But right now, you know, I felt like I had to do something in order to to fix something. So
yeah, clearly the system is not working for people such as yourself, and this is such a can be such a controversial issue. But thanks for joining us this morning, because it's people like you who can articulate the situation that you're experiencing. And hopefully this morning, we recognize that the bill did not pass over the weekend, but that doesn't mean all hope is lost. And so we'll continue with advocacy efforts on the DREAM Act and on comprehensive immigration reform. And I think this is something that many of our listeners need to hear, because, you know, we really get caught up in labels sometimes, and you hear things like, oh, it's just amnesty, and you get those sort of comments. Cindy, how do you react to those sort of things when you hear that, those sort of comments?
Well, when first of all, when they say amnesty in regards to the DREAM Act, a lot of the times I just want to tell them, you know, read the bill. It's not amnesty. Under the DREAM Act, we would have 10 years of conditional, you know, permanent residency, and then legal permanent residency, and then citizenship. It would pretty much be 15 years before any form of amnesty would actually be given. But when people, you know, refuse to accept the fact that we have a huge problem here in the United States with immigration, it really bothers me, because they look at us as what the media portrays us as the illegal aliens that they fear. They don't look at us as a student. They don't look at us as, you know, as someone that's been working at restaurants, that's been working in the factories. They don't look at us as families, as individuals. And when, you know, we've been, a lot of us have been faced with people saying that, and we just let them know, you know, this is who we are. This is what we want to do. We're not taking anything away from you. We just want to give back to our country. You know, this is our country. The United States is our home. It's all we know right now. So it's just a matter of them getting to know who we are and actually understanding what it would do, not just to us, but to the whole country.
If you want to talk to Cindy, or if you have any questions about the DREAM Act or anything else as it relates to immigration reform, give us a call at 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. We're talking with Cindy Augustine this morning, who is a student and wrapping up her studies at the University of Chicago. Cindy, what were you studying there, and you're graduating, I take it, in the spring?
Yes, I'll be graduating in June, and I'm studying human development and human rights.
Oh, great. And Cindy, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're from the Chicago area?
Yes, I'm originally from the Chicago area, yes.
And so you attended high school in this area and applied to the University of Chicago and have been there for the last 4 years, I take it?
Yeah, I went to elementary school here in my neighborhood, high school, and now university, so 16 years right now.
So your situation is like many other of your colleagues, in that you were brought here by your parents when you were, what did you say, 3 years old?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've been in the United States, and so you've been basically participating in school and in social activities just like everybody else, and it seems like you've done pretty well, because I applied to the University of Chicago, and I didn't do too good. they didn't take me. So I can understand what your grades are like. That's not an easy school to attend. That's an academically excellent institution. And so we're glad that you could join us this morning. You know what, Cindy? Let's take a quick break here. And we'll want to get your comments and your phone calls. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Cindy about what her experience was like. What was she doing in Washington, and how did her conversations transpire over the last couple of days as she was trying to help pass the DREAM Act that unfortunately fell just short this past weekend. This is Bob Gilligan. Don't go away. The number is 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll talk with Cardinal George about wrapping up his tour of duty as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll hear from a Roman official who came to Chicago to explore possible sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll take you to the 25th anniversary celebration for the Archdiocese of Chicago's Spanish language newspaper, Chicago Catolico.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan, and we're talking this morning about the DREAM Act that has been widely publicized over the weekend. And unfortunately, the bill did not pass the United States Senate. And we're talking this morning with Cindy Augustine, who is with us and who is a student at the University of Chicago and is personally affected by the inability of the United States Senate to pass the DREAM Act. Cindy, before the break, we were talking about your personal experience, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about what your conversations were like with when you were back there this past weekend, correct?
Yes, during the weekend, yes.
And so tell us what it was like. Give us a sense of what your conversations were like. I take it you talked to staff people, and maybe did you get in to see any members of the United States Senate? What was the feeling like back there?
So unfortunately, we didn't make it there on time. We found out that the vote would be on Saturday and Thursday night.
Yeah.
So we left early Friday morning,
And
we got there Friday night. So my group wasn't able to speak to any of the senators or the staff, but there were a lot of people there already organizing for the last month pretty much. And actually on Friday, they had a study-in in the cafeteria in the Senate building, and they had, you know, they had their caps and gowns, they were studying, and they were trying to bring attention to the DREAM Act. And Sessions, Senator Sessions, actually came in to the cafeteria, and he actually listened to the students talk about, you know, their stories and why it is that he should vote in favor of the DREAM Act. And so, like, there were many little actions going on throughout the week. There were marches. There were the students were caroling outside of the Senate building. They came up with carols dealing with the DREAM Act. They changed the words to, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town to the DREAM Act is coming to town. You know, they were very creative in the actions that they were having, but they were having a lot of conversations with senators and their staff members. And I know that Senator Durbin actually spoke to a lot of the students firsthand for a few minutes and told them he was going to do everything that he could to get the DREAM Act. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the senators didn't really take into consideration the conversations they had and the stories of the students that were being affected by what's going on right now. But we did manage when I looked at who voted yes for the DREAM Act, there were a few of our targets who decided to turn the other way and vote for what was right. So we were very successful when it comes to that. So
did Senator Sessions, who's from Alabama, did he indicate, so it sounds like he was at least listening to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I do you recall how he voted? I don't recall.
He voted no.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
yes.
That's what
so
I thought.
Unfortunately, he voted no, and he's been one of those senators that says that it was amnesty
yes.
and
right.
been very supportive.
Yeah, and I know our own Mark Kirk, who we were talking to last week as well. That is exactly what he was saying to us, is along the lines of border security first mm-hmm. and everything else later. And I think the frustrating thing for a lot of us is, well, specifically, we're trying to figure out what exactly does that mean when we talk about border security first, because the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has supported border security measures. You know, specifically, we would like to see some more details on some of those proposals. But if it takes border security to get more comprehensive immigration reform, that's something we're willing to do. But we were hoping that perhaps the DREAM Act was maybe a little easier proposal to support, as opposed to some of the other things that have been entertained in the past. The number is 312-255-8408. We're very fortunate this morning to be talking with Cindy Augustine, who is a student at the University of Chicago, who is personally involved with not only advocating for the DREAM Act, but she's personally affected by it. Cindy, you said you were back in Washington with others, and so some of your colleagues that were affected by this, they have a similar story than you that as you do, I take it.
I guess many of them, you know, thus a lot of them actually haven't been able to attend college or graduate from college yet because of the financial burden. Others have managed to get their master's degrees after graduating from undergrad. So all the stories are different, but a lot of them do face the same frustrations where we can't do anything after graduation, whether it's high school, college, or graduate school graduation. And we were really hoping that something would happen this year.
So what will happen with you after June? You're an undocumented individual, and you have a degree from the University of Chicago, and so it's very difficult, I would imagine, to obtain employment from in your field. So does this mean you go on to graduate school, or do you continue to look?
I'm going to continue and see if I can find anything in terms of employment opportunities, whether it's, getting mm-hmm. internships. You know, schools are willing to pay students sometimes with stipends,
sure.
and that's something that I would qualify for if the school's able to do that. But I'm also going to try and apply to graduate school for next year and hopefully get full funding from some of the programs that I apply to, and we'll just see what happens from there. But definitely, you know, continue fighting, continue trying to create alternatives to undocumented youth everywhere, and you know, we just hope for the best, and we hope that, you know, something will happen within the next 2 years.
Yeah, we sure do. And from your conversation, Cindy, or anybody you've been talking to, I suppose maybe it's too soon, but is there any talk about next year? And obviously, we're not going to give up on this. This is something that is a just cause, and it's the right thing to do. So, in your opinion, is there any sense of what the next plan is in terms of moving forward? Probably reintroducing it next year, I'm thinking.
Well, we're hoping that that's possible, but if not, I think a lot of us, a lot of the youth especially, we're working on creating alternatives for everything that's going on right now. I'm a member of the Immigrant Youth Justice League, and earlier this month we were able to host a college fair specifically for, you know, immigrant youth and documented mm-hmm. students, and we had 200 students that attended. And so we're looking to learn more about what financial aid colleges offer so that we can give that information to current high school students and that they can continue their education, and looking for alternatives to working later on after graduation. So I think that's what we're going to focus on a lot right now, working locally, looking for alternatives, but also, you know, trying to push for whether it's the DREAM Act or comprehensive immigration reform,
mm-hmm.
but still push for that. I think right now the senators, the representatives, they know the power that we have, that the immigrant community has, and whether we're undocumented or not, they know that we have the power to change things. I mean, last year we didn't hear much about the DREAM Act, and
sure.
then by the end of this year, it's everything that's on the news when it comes to immigration. So I think they finally see the kind of power that we have, and hopefully they'll listen to us. And right now, we just hope for the best.
I agree with you, and I know this is a big defeat, and I don't mean to underestimate that defeat. But also, I think you're right. I think the future is also, I think we have reason to be hopeful, because in essence, I think what we can do is to continue our advocacy efforts and keep pushing forward. Cindy, you know what? I think we're going to have to take, I hear the music here, but I think we're going to take a quick break. And I want to ask you one more question before we let you go. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Cindy Augustine about the DREAM Act. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking about the DREAM Act, and we're talking with Cindy Augustine, who was back in Washington this past weekend. Cindy, one last question I was going to try to squeeze in before the break, but wasn't able to do so, is, you know, I think what you're bringing up is an interesting point in terms of the numbers. It's my understanding that I think there were about 1 to 2 million individuals potentially impacted by the DREAM Act if it were passed this year. But I'm just wondering if you have any knowledge or information about the numbers that are coming in the future, because it clearly seems like, you know, the migration patterns and the demographics of the growth in the Hispanic community is really strong compared to perhaps other demographics in the United States. So I'm wondering, like, you know, as we go forward here, there's going to be more and more students like yourself behind you coming up. Is that true? And if that's true, shouldn't that even lead to more pressure in enacting something like the DREAM Act?
Well, in terms of immigration, you know, people are going to keep coming to the United States more and more, and with the current immigration system, it's very difficult to come the right way, you know, to get a visa or to get, to have a family member petition for someone to come here and live here. So it's going to be very difficult, but I don't know how many more people are going to be here, but I do know that our, you know, the undocumented student population is growing. We're getting educated right now. We finally took a stand on our own lives, a political stand, and, you know, we've been going to the Capitol every other month right now, you know, trying to pressure these senators. So whether our numbers increase or decrease, I know that, you know, our power, political power, will be growing because now we know that we have a voice. Whether they tell us that we don't, we have the power to change things. So In terms of numbers, I'm not sure, but in terms of power, I think it's going to keep, you know, growing.
Well, I think we have a lot of work to do, especially here in Illinois, because we have, what, 5 new congressional members who were just elected, who will be sworn in the first week or two in January. So we're probably going to have to sit down with them and to figure out how we can enact, get their support for the DREAM Act, because I would imagine some of them may not be open to it. And also, as we've learned, Senator Kirk did not support the DREAM Act, so we'll continue to have to reach out to him and work on him and figure out what he means when he says border security first and then everything else later. So maybe we can come up with some creative ideas to help persuade the 5 new members in Illinois and Senator Kirk that this is the right thing to do to help assist people such as yourself. Cindy, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know it hasn't been the best situation for you. I think you're on the road, and I think you had a little bit of a cold this morning. And so our best wishes to you, and our prayers are with you as you go forward in terms of seeking your career and trying to, you know, obtain the American dream like all of us are trying to do. And so let's hope and pray that maybe in a year we can come back and do a victory show about enactment of the DREAM Act sometime in the future. Thanks for joining us this morning, Cindy. Any closing comments from you in terms of what you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, I just really would like to thank everyone that's been supportive of us, you know, the immigrant community and immigrant youth everywhere. And, you know, thank you for all the calls that everyone made, all the donations they might have made. And, you know, just thank you for all the support and to keep working with us. We have a long fight ahead of us, and we're not stopping until we get what we want, you know. So I just want to thank everyone out there who's listening, who's helped us get this far, and, you know, ask them to continue working with us in the future.
Well, with spokesmen like yourself, I'm sure that the DREAM Act is well on its way to passage, and many others who are affected too. We need their voices as well. Cindy, thanks for joining us. Have a merry, merry Christmas, and perhaps we'll be talking to you down the road. Don't go away, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan, and we're going to talk about, we're going to now refocus our show in terms of what's going on in Springfield at the state level. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by one of the Associate Directors of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, Zach Wickman. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's happened down in Springfield with some issues we've been involved with civil unions, and look forward to next year on what we can do in terms of our advocacy efforts at the state capitol. This is Bob Gilligan. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this brief messages. These messages.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking about public policy issues pending both in Washington and here in our state, in Illinois, at the state capitol in Springfield. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 312-255-8408. Before the break, we were talking with a woman, Cindy Augustine, who was advocating on behalf of the DREAM Act, and unfortunately, that didn't pass this past weekend. It failed in the United States Senate. And what we're going to do now is make a transition from Washington back to Springfield, something we're probably a little bit more familiar with. And what we want to talk about now is something that's been in the media a lot. The whole question of marriage and what our General Assembly is trying to do when equating a civil union to marriage. And I know we've talked about it many times in these airwaves, and we've been trying to get the word out to people to help oppose the bill. And I think most people know by now, a couple weeks ago, the General Assembly did pass that bill. It's on its way to the governor. It all looks like it's going to be signed by the governor. But I think what we wanted to do for the half hour we have remaining is talk about, well what happened? A lot of people are asking me, why did it pass? How did it pass? And help ferret out and explain some of those issues, and as well as to talk about what we want to try to do for next year. On the line with us, we have from Springfield, Zach Wickman, who's the Director of Government Relations for the conference. Zach, you with us?
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I don't know if you heard any of that intro, but we were talking there about the civil unions bill, and a lot of people are asking me, you know, well, how did it pass? What happened? Geez, it came out of nowhere, and how come nobody was talking about it? So why did it pass?
Well, you know, first, I think you get first, it doesn't really come out of nowhere. I mean, for the average Illinoisan, I'm sure they didn't hear much about it, but the bill has been before the General Assembly for 4 years, and then for almost 2 years it's been on third reading in the House, which means it could have been voted on at any time. The proponents of the bill worked very hard for a long time, spent a lot of money, hired a lot of lobbyists, did a lot of that work. But even with that, the bill would not have passed were it not for kind of a perfect storm of political misfortune.
Yeah,
it's kind of a mouthful, but you know, the elections happened in November. A number of, I think our count is seven, downstate and even suburban legislators who would not have voted for this bill had they won re-election, because their districts aren't for it, and they would have, you know, been running for re-election in 2 years. They wouldn't have voted for it, but they lost re-election, so they were kind of free agents, could do whatever they want. I think the governor's office worked very hard with those folks and was able to secure their votes, and, you know, that hurt.
A lot of talk about the role of the governor and the speaker and the Senate president in passing this bill, and I think what Zach just outlined is how you know, who's in leadership and who we elect really matters, because they're able to set the calendar and set the table for moving legislation or not moving legislation, and in essence, that's a large part what happened and why the civil unions bill passed. If you have any questions about civil unions or any other things we're working on in Springfield for the next half hour or so, the number is 312-255-8408. So, Zach, with that said, the bill's passed. It is on its way to the governor, and it looks like the governor's going to sign it.
Yeah, I mean, the governor campaigned on it before the election, said he wanted to pass it in veto and wanted to sign it. He's given every indication he'll sign it. He will sign it. And when he signs, it doesn't really matter. The effective date of the law is June 1st, 2011. So as long as he signs it, well, I guess he has to sign. He has 60 days to sign it or something like that. But he will sign it, and it will become law on June 1st of 2011.
And so that leads us to what now?
Yeah.
So I think we have sort of, as I've been trying to explain it, there's sort of two, I would say, mutually exclusive things. We have some internal issues we have to deal with, right, and then we have some external issues in terms of the internal being how does it affect us in terms of some of these issues we bring in, up. And then I think for a lot of people out there is like, well, what can they do? Can they repeal it? Can they do a constitutional amendment? I mean, there's a lot of talk about there. I guess let's divide them up in half. Internally, what those issues that we need to address before June 1st.
Right. Well, this is the thing about this legislation and passing it in a lame duck session in a week's time is you'd really, even though it's been for the General Assembly for so long, our legislators are busy. They have a lot of things going on. They don't study these issues until they're really right before them for a vote. This changes over 500 areas of state statute because it grants a party to a civil union the same rights as any spouse in Illinois that is a married man or woman. There's a lot of changes in the law, and people don't know what all those changes are going to be. For us, the church, it has we have some serious concerns about employment, employee benefits. Obviously, we're not going to provide benefits to men or to women in a civil union, or for that matter, man and a woman in a civil union. It's outside of the church teaching on marriage and reproduction and things like that. So we have to figure out, and we've done a lot of work on this, how we're going to set our employment policies, set our employment benefit policies, and moreover, how we're going to handle access to Catholic properties, institutions, even some social services like marriage counseling. All of these things are affected. They all take a lot of thought and care in making sure that we're doing, fulfilling our mission, but also not, you know, undermining the faith in any way. So it's going to take a lot of work, and we've already started that, as you know. So
yeah, we have, and we have a lot of research, and we've been looking into what the law says and what it doesn't say, and we have some preliminary recommendations that we're going to be talking about internally in terms of how this legislation impacts the Catholic Church and our ministries. And I think, what you know, it's a mixed bag right now. This is not, we're not the first state to enact civil unions. Other states have. What their experience has been and how they've dealt with it is illustrative. But on the other hand, all the states are different. You know, one of the things I think we're finding is that Illinois, as we know, has a highly privatized child welfare system, and that meaning that adoption and foster care are done by a lot of private agencies. And that has an impact, and our situation is not exactly the same as some other states, such as New Jersey and maybe California. So all these things are still kind of on the table in terms of how we're going to handle them. But they're serious concerns, and they may result in us coming back to the General Assembly for some trailer language or some clarifying language, and we don't even know if that's feasible at this point in time. But so that's some of the things that we're working on sort of internally. And then I think the question for a lot of advocates is, I know there's a lot of anger out there, there's a lot of frustration, and I think that is also something that needs to be discussed as well, is what can people do? What are the options for next year?
Sure. There was a lot of anger after it passed, and I always try to, talk people away from that. It doesn't help to address these issues in anger. It's better to just, get focused on what we can do. And I think what we can do, look, you don't typically have a bill pass 1 month and then repeal it the next month. I mean, that doesn't happen in politics.
Right.
So what we're looking at, what we're talking about, is there something in legislation we can do to provide greater conscious protections, not only for the church, but for individuals, perhaps, people who own their own businesses, small businesses. There are some protections in the Human Rights Act that exist now. Those may be something we could strengthen. And, of course, we talked to the Senate sponsor about some of our concerns, and particularly he seemed interested in, adoption, foster care services. Can we build in some protections so that our charity organizations who are involved in those processes don't have to do anything that violates their own conscience?
312-255-8408. We're talking with Zach Wickman of the Catholic Conference staff down in Springfield, who is very involved with the advocacy efforts to help defeat the legislation, and we came very close. And I think it's worth noting that I feel that Cardinal George made a statement, a quote in something we put out. I thought that was very helpful to our advocacy efforts. But at the end of the day, I think this is an issue, at least in Illinois, that I think I have two feelings. First, as Zach outlined, if it weren't for the lame duck session and the political storm that Zach outlined, this bill wouldn't have passed. But on the other hand, I have to say, it was difficult. A lot of difficult conversations that we had with members of the General Assembly about the nature of marriage and what relationships are defined as now, and that is not the same conversation as that we would have been having 10, 15 years ago. I know for many of us that it was difficult difficult because, you know, many members of the General Assembly either have somebody who's gay or of homosexual orientation in their families or friends or neighbors, and it's a very difficult issue for Catholics right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, culturally, you mentioned before people were surprised that this passed, and I think that's true. But, again, I don't know that people should be surprised.
Yeah.
Culturally, as you alluded to, the idea of marriage as a religious and civic institution that is of great import remains, but it has been reduced. And, unfortunately, the other side was able to cast this as a civil rights issue, not an issue about marriage and society, but more about, you know, Why do we not have access to, you know, right A, B, and C?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are other ways to do it, and in the end, their ultimate goal remains marriage, and this was just one step towards it. But, you know, I don't know that anybody should be surprised. This is where our culture, you know, turn on the TV at night.
Yep.
What do you see?
Well, and to reinforce that, look at the vote this past weekend on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Some of the comments coming out of the Senate were very similar to what we had heard in Springfield as it being cast as a civil rights issue. And when it gets cast as a civil rights issue, that is, it's definitely more difficult to defeat than when we're talking about other dynamics in society. 312-255-8408. So the Civil Unions Issues Act is pretty, I mean, in terms for us, it's not over. We have some internal things to do. We probably have more work to do now than we did prior to trying to defeat the legislation.
We certainly have that, and again, this whole issue isn't over. The proponents
right.
of the civil unions legislation will tell you very openly that this is a step to same-sex marriage, that's their goal, that's what they want. There will be no doubt after June 1st, maybe even before, lawsuits and legislation filed with the intent of establishing gay marriage in Illinois. So that's something we're going to have to, you know, be on the lookout for.
Yeah, it does. And once again, alluding to what other states have done on this area, what we saw happen in the state of Connecticut, and I know Illinois is not Connecticut, but Connecticut passed almost identical legislation on civil unions. And I don't recall the time frame, but I know it was very short. And off the top of my head, I want to say it was only 11 months before a court in the state of Connecticut found under an equal protection clause that there is no difference, in essence, between a civil union and marriage. So therefore, Connecticut now has gay marriage. Zach, you know, one of the things also, it's there's a lot of activities in the other states. And I have to say, it's not all bad. I know Illinois, we weren't able to defeat civil unions, but there's stories coming out of states like New Hampshire. I don't know if repeal is on the docket, but there are rumors about that. So I'm not sure where this is going nationally. I mean, I know there's reasons to believe it's going both ways, but I don't think the glass is all half empty at this point in time.
No, it certainly is a fluid situation, and I don't think that any, you know, culture or as a society we've come, you know, definitively down on one side or the other. But the fight will continue, that's for sure. I mean, I
yeah.
know that you and I have been working on these issues for many years, and they're not going to fold up their tents and go away.
Yeah.
And we can't either. So.
And I also would be remiss if we didn't mention that out of California we have a Supreme Court. We have a hearing December 6th, on Prop 8. And
right.
so that decision is now before a federal appeals court. And our intelligence and most of the things you read in the media indicate that in all likelihood, that case is probably going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that would happen, we think, beginning the court would take it on or about, October of 2011, with perhaps a decision coming in 2012.
Right, and you know, that could be and likely will be monumental. I mean, it could be
mm-hmm.
something as large as, you know, there is no right in the Constitution to a same-sex marriage to, yeah, absolutely, you can't prohibit it. I don't know which side it'll come down on, but that could really reshape the debate for every state.
Yeah.
So it's something you got to keep your eye on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little bit about where we are with civil unions and the state of marriage. And I know a lot of people have been asking me about what happened and what didn't happen. So I hope this conversation sheds some light on that topic. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the future. There was an election in November. And so there is one more lame duck session scheduled for the first week in January. We'll talk briefly about that. And then let's talk a little bit about what we want to do for next year. What are the goals of the conference? We won't go over all of them, but right now we're talking about our legislative agenda, and we'd like to talk about some of those issues that we know that are going to be on a docket when we come back in January. So with that, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation about looking forward to next year. If you have any questions, join us, 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back, everybody, and sorry that was an extended break there. It seemed like there was too many commercials in there, but anyway, or PSAs, I'm sorry. We're back. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Zach Wickman in Springfield about some of the issues that we're going to be addressing in the upcoming session in Springfield. But first, I think we have a phone call online. Is it Jim?
Yes.
Jim, are you with us?
Yes,
Yes, hello.
Hey, Jim, good morning.
How are you?
Good. Cold, but I'm fine.
Good, and I hope Mr. Wickman is good, too.
He's on the okay category.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say thanks, gentlemen, for an excellent show and providing this helpful information, which we would not have access to pretty much anywhere else in such a handy format. And also, Mr. Wickman, I'd particularly like to commend you for your peaceful, mature, and balanced tone, when many of us would be, like, furious. So I wanted to toss that out as a salute to both of you for the great work you're doing, and I'll get off the line so you can keep doing it.
Great, Jim.
I wanted to say thanks a lot, both of you.
Thanks,
congratulations,
Jim.
Congratulations, and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for those kind comments. The only thing I'll add is that this is Zach's common. He's calm now, but you should see him when he's not. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, Jim, thank you very much for that, for those kind words. It can be very frustrating, to say the least. I was at a function over the weekend, and people were asking me a lot about those sort of things, like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
I don't know sometimes. In terms of next year, Zach, one of the things I think we want to talk about is, we're coming back, right after the first of the year. This lame duck session never wants to end, right? Coming back.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a lot like people are probably more familiar with what's going on the national level where, you know, we've had an election and now all these people who either lost in the election or retired or whatever are still getting to vote on what are really major issues.
Sure.
The same thing's happening at the state level. Obviously, we had the civil unions vote in early December, and when they come back, you know, there's talk of votes on things like teacher tenure, on Medicare reform, unemployment insurance reform, maybe even a tax increase. The House of Representatives is scheduled to be in almost every day from January 3rd until the inauguration. It could be anything. They could move a lot. They could do nothing. We're just going to have to watch and see.
Yeah, I know that, and I think the inauguration is January 12th. But
right.
I better not be in Springfield on January 10th on a weekend. It's not going to be pretty. Anyway, so that's coming up, and I think Zach's right. I mean, all those things are on the table. Some, none, or all could happen, and you can take your pick on which one you think it is. But when the new people come in, finally, they'll be sworn in. I think it's on January 12th, and then we'll have the new members, and there's a lot of them. I think is it 19?
There's going to be 7 new senators and 20 new representatives.
Really?
Yeah,
27 new people.
Right. So the character of the General Assembly will change a lot. Now, the partisan makeup has not changed nearly as much. The Republicans have gained 2 seats in the Senate. That does take away the Democratic supermajority, but still leaves them with a significant majority.
Yes.
And in the House, the Republicans gained 6 seats, which gives the Democrats a +10 advantage in the House. So, individual members have individual views on individual issues, so the character and will change, and there will be different issues that will be easier and more difficult to handle. But as far as partisan makeup, we're not going to see a lot of change.
Yeah, it's the same leadership is still in, and the governor's office is still the same. So that's all that is really significant. But nonetheless, I think that the leadership will have to respond to different individuals with different agendas than's been in the past. And I think that's a positive. And along those lines, in terms of a positive, I think one of the things we wanted to sort of set the groundwork for is advocacy efforts in the future. And one of the things we've been we've been working on this for a couple years, and you know, Zach outlined sort of the civil unions, what the proponents of civil unions did. That thing didn't come about overnight. That was introduced years ago, and they worked on it. Maybe not very publicly, but they did work on it. And maybe it's not a strong parallel, but I think we can make a case that we've been doing that with this ultrasound bill.
Sure, we are going to reintroduce the Ultrasound Opportunity Act in the spring, and of course, this bill would require that a woman who is seeking an abortion be given the opportunity to view an ultrasound of her baby. Now, in most, if not all, abortions or abortion processes, the physician does do an ultrasound to determine the age of the baby and, you know, their method of doing what they do, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that already happens, and what we want to do is say, well, show this woman the ultrasound as you do it, because what research tells us is that something like 80% of the women who see an ultrasound of their baby decline to have an abortion. if that doesn't tell you what's going on here and what the truth is of this matter, I don't know what will. But we're trying to get into that process to to inform women of what's really going on. We've introduced this bill. As I said, this will be the third year in a row. We gain co-sponsors every year. We'll continue to work on it. We believe we've gained something like 6 votes in the House with the election changes, 6 pro-life votes. And in the Senate, we may have gained 1-2. So, it's still an uphill climb. Governor Quinn is still in the office, and he has been a supporter of Planned Parenthood and personal PAC. So It's still an uphill climb, but it's something that we believe in, and we're going to keep working on it.
Yeah, and I think we approach this year as being relatively optimistic about our chances to move that piece of legislation, and we hope to have perhaps a favorable committee assignment that would enable us to perhaps get it onto the House or Senate floor. And as we've said many times on that issue, is that is a real hard bill to argue against. It's hard in this culture and the society to argue that more information is bad. Or shouldn't be promoted, and that's really what the nature of that piece of legislation is, that it is information, and that it's real hard to deny that opportunity to see it. And we feel, as Zach indicated, that once women see what actually is within them, which is a human life, that it's real hard to terminate that life. And so hopefully that'll save lives. And so we're optimistic about that, hopefully getting that on to the House floor or Senate floor and taking a shot at passage of that legislation. So we have introduced that in the past, and we'll be doing it again in the future. And in terms of maybe some of the other issues to hit real fast, Zach, I know the budget is still, a disaster.
Yeah, the budget's a big problem for the state as a whole, for sure. And, one of the unfortunate things about the results of the election in November is I'm not sure any new ideas are coming forward now.
Right.
The governor has his tax increase idea, and that's what he's sticking with, and he's claimed his... famously, as most people know, that he has a mandate.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think the General Assembly will have something to say about that. But for us in particular, Catholic schools in particular, you know, we have a number of state-funded programs that provide assistance to our schools. Many of those have been zeroed out over the past year because of the budget problems. So we're going to have to continue to work to, inform legislators the importance of these programs, that Catholic schools are a part of Illinois' education system, a significant part. I mean, if you look at the leadership of this state, they're almost all graduates of Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a part of the system that's working, and now you're turning your back on it. So we need to get that turned around. We're also going to continue to work on our school choice issues.
Yep.
We came very close last year to passing a voucher bill, passed it in the Senate, almost passed it in the House, and we're going to keep working on that. Now, our main sponsor, Senator Meeks, is running for mayor of Chicago, so I think there's some uncertainty about how that's going to affect things, but we're going to work on it.
Yep. We're going to continue to do that. And as the budget goes, so many programs rely on state funding, and none of those are sure right now. So in terms of the Medicaid reimbursements to hospitals and the money that Catholic Charities gets, it's always susceptible to changes. And that revenue situation in terms of the amount of money that the state takes in to fund its programs is not a positive right now. It's taking in less money. And unfortunately, the expenses are continuing as they once were, if not only increasing in terms of the need. So that challenge is still out there. So with that said, I think those are sort of the major, some of the programs that we'll be dealing with next year. Come January, we'll get into that a little bit more. And I can say that I think what we'll have during the first show in January is we're going to bring on a state representative who was recently elected to talk about what his vision of Springfield will be like. So it'll be interesting to kind of get his thoughts. Tom Morrison, who was recently elected up in Palatine, will be one of the guests on our first show upcoming next year. So with that said, we'd like to thank everybody for listening this morning. Zach, any closing comments from you in Springfield?
No, I just hope everybody will stay engaged and not, get discouraged.
Exactly, and I think that's a good point. Closing the year out here with a perceived, not a victory with the civil unions bill, but that nonetheless, there's going to be a lot of work to do there. And what we're hoping to do is channel some of that anger and may perhaps turn that into enthusiasm to do something positive. The one thing about the General Assembly is that they meet every year, and so there's always another opportunity out there. And our political opponents seem to be very dedicated to continuing their advocacy efforts year in and year out, and so therefore we need to be doing the same thing. So with that said, we'd like to thank Zach, who was on our show this morning, and Jim for calling in from Rogers Park, and also like to thank Cindy Augustine for coming in this morning and talking about the DREAM Act. So with that, I'd like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we'll be back in 2011. Wow, I can't believe it. Amazing. So anyway, have a nice day, everybody, and thanks for listening, and have a wonderful Advent season, and Merry Christmas to all. Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.